Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come together again, once again, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you come in and anoint each one of us. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us up with the fullness of your joy, Lord, and your peace and your rest. Father, and let tonight be a night of reflecting on where we are with you and what needs to be changed, what idols are still in our lives that we need to give to you, Father, and how much more do we need to surrender? And of course, you know as well as I do, we need to surrender all. And Lord, I just thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. It couldn't be made possible without you, Father. And we sure want you to lead us and guide us and direct us in everything that we do. Lord, we're coming into this time of great turmoil and destruction. And we're going to need you more than ever, Lord. And we ask that you place it in our hearts to run after you with everything that we've got and to surrender and to submit everything to you, Lord, that our old self would not be doing anything, that we would be listening to you for every step that we take, Father. And I praise you for cleaning us up from all the evil self that's been in us for so long, Lord. But Lord, we all want to walk with you. And to walk with you, Lord, we have to get rid of it. And we thank you, Father, that you're doing that for us. There's nothing that we can do except have faith to believe that you're doing it, Father. And we thank you for all the work that you're doing in each one of us, Father. And I thank you for tonight's fellowship, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, hey, Tim.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Doing great.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
awesome.
Sir. I can.
Awesome.
Absolutely can. Okay. Well, let's see if anybody has any prayer requests or would like to pray tonight. Well, okay. We've been getting some words here locally in the morning prayers meetings of idols being in our life. And how God wants us to get rid of them, and how God sees that is wickedness. Last night he talked through one of the people there, one of the men there, and it was the wickedness that he saw. But the encouragement was that he's ready to take it away from us at any given time. All we have to do is submit and surrender to him, and he'll take it away from us. That's the great news. And he's wanting his people to be ready for this time that's coming. And the Lord has been very diligent in making known to us here locally that there's still some work to be done, quick work, and we need to get rid of it. We need to go to the Lord with all of our hearts, surrendering everything to him. Lord, just take it all. I don't want anything of me left in there. Even if it hurts, Lord, take it all. You know, that should be our cry to the Lord. Because nothing that you can do is going to save you in the days ahead. It's going to have to be completely put upon Jesus to do that for us. And that's the Jesus in each one of us. And I believe with all my heart that he's working in every one of us. And I wanted to encourage you today is to just seek the Lord with all your heart and your soul. There ain't nothing any more important right now than seeking the Lord and getting right with him, getting our hearts right with him. You know, we can talk a good talk, but our actions don't prove a lot of things. You know, I'm talking about myself as well. Wickedness that the Lord sees. If we could just come close to the holiness of God, we'd see how wicked we are, or we can be. And I just pray that the Lord would get all of us to that point to where we give it all up for him. And that's my prayer, is that we would all surrender everything to him so that we can be ready to go into this bride that he has for us. Now, the bride is a special place. that's a special place for his people of protection, a special place of protection and provision. And it's going to be an awesome time for those who have submitted. And it's going to be a tough time for those who haven't submitted. You're going to submit one way or the other. You can do it in captivity, or you can do it as one of God's protected in the bride. It's up to you. You know, it's all, up to all of us to want to do that. Listen, I don't care. Your job is not as important as seeking first the kingdom of God. Your job is not as important as finding out what the Lord wants us to do and what's wrong with us and how He can, what He wants to do in our life. And that's a scary thought in some of our minds, you know, because sometimes we just don't want to give up that part of our life. Lord, don't make me give up that part of our life, but He wants it all. He wants every bit of it, and so that the carnal man would be the beast of burden for the spiritual man. Y'all have heard David talk about that a couple of times, I'm sure. Is that when the carnal man or the fleshly man has submitted so completely to the Lord that wherever the Lord wants to go, that self will haul it there. It's a beast of burden for the spiritual man inside of each one of us. And that's hopefully what each one of us is looking for. Amen. All right, anybody else get any words about like what we're talking about? One of the things that he is really, really hammering home is idols in our life. Get rid of idols. You know what an idol is? It's something that takes more of your time than it ought to. If you watch TV more than you read the Word, that's an idol. If you read the newspaper or a book more than you read the Word and stay in the Word and commune with God, that's an idol. Anything that takes you away from the Word is an idol. Now, books with the Word in it, like, you know, some that we're used to, it's got Word all through it. That's staying in the Word. And that's where God wants us. He wants us continually to seek Him for everything. And like Tim and I both have talked about in the past, let the first thing in the morning be your quiet time with the Lord and get in that right frame of spiritual mind to where the Lord can show you things in His Word. Cast down all of those vain imaginational thoughts that crop up in our brain. You know, the devil's sitting there. He's spewing stuff at you all the time. But we have to be diligent in our, nope, devil, you just go. I'm not going to put up with this. I want the Lord. I don't want you. And you have to just continually cast it down and then get into that sweet time with the Lord. And then He can work with you. And it'll be an awesome time with Him. If you do that every day, you'll be walking in the Spirit. Amen. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to add to that? Or whatever.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am?
I just, you know, we just need to practice praying dead. Just insist on being dead to the old man with everything that comes up. Just, you know, fight the good fight of faith and say, I'm dead. That's the old man. That's not me anymore. And we just need to practice.
Amen. Or just let the Lord take it from you. That's
yeah.
The best way. Just let the Lord haul it away from you.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else?
Mute me.
Okay. Sorry. What's the Lord doing in your life? Now, I'm just going to put you on the spot. I'm going to put every one of you on the spot. If the Lord's not doing anything in your life, you're silent. Whoa. I'm going to put you all on the spot. What's the Lord doing in your life, Chad?
You know, He's really been, just what you're saying, I've been for some time really seeking Him for to be in the place of, abiding place of peace, just being really honest with myself, recognizing when I really have, you know, that confidence in the Lord and feel that confidence in the Lord, and then other times when I don't really feel that. And sometimes I know it's the enemy working against me, but then at other times I'm like, okay, what's in my heart that's permitting this? And besides that, even when the enemy is working against me, well, what's in me that's given, you know, that's given him place? And it hasn't, you know, really been any willful sin at all that I know of on my part, because I've been diligently seeking the Lord. And I mean, I don't, you know, willful sin to me is just elementary. I don't want any of it. I want to be in the place where I really am well pleasing to the Lord at all times, and where I'm so much out of the way when He just says do this or that, that I don't consult myself about that at all. You know, and if my any selfish feelings get in there or rise up, that I cast them down immediately. And I've been finding myself, you know, really checking my motives, like, why do I want to do this or that sometimes? Or if a thought comes in to do a certain thing, well, why do I really want to do that, you know? And finding myself asking more, well, Lord, what is it you want me to do now? And just really a lot of fine-tuning and getting down to the, you know, to the root of some things, long-standing things that have been there for a while, and they've kind of surfaced in the past, and I get victory for a while, but then they'd surface again, and now certain things have been surfacing more than ever. But the Lord told me, don't be discouraged. He's bringing this fully into the light so it can be dealt with and uprooted once and for all. And so, you know, I was talking with Charity just the other night, and I said, you know, I'm just going to admit I'm not in that place of confidence and quietness in the Lord where I have that all the time, you know, in every situation. The Lord says in His Word that He wants, I think it's Thessalonians, He wants to give us, may the Lord Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. I'm like, man, that's a lot of peace, you know, and I want that. The Word says it's mine, and I'm praying that He take me there, and He's been doing that. So, yeah, just a lot of dealings. I'm finding every day, it's like there's nothing more important to me than to know I'm in right standing with the Lord at all times, and to not have any place for the enemy to get a foothold, because if there is any room for fear, all it takes is one time in the wrong situation for fear to come in and, you know, for me to go down real quick. And so, and He's been doing that in Charity also, really getting at some deep-rooted stuff. So very thankful for that, and I just pray He continue it and give me and give us, you know, give us all the grace to come up higher, and that the Lord really be Lord of this vessel at all times. And that He, you know, expose anything that's not of Him. I want the Lord to please expose it all. And of course, He doesn't do it all at once, because I couldn't handle that. But I'm finding it's happening more and more, and it's almost like it's becoming a continual thing at times. And that's good. I'm actually encouraged by that. And I just got to remember to keep my eyes on the Lord. And He reveals any wickedness in my heart, it's not to condemn me, but it's so that I can be cleansed of that, because I'm already forgiven, and I just want to enter into more of that. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, what you're talking about there, I wrote this down this morning. It says, I wrote down, we cannot keep right without the Lord Jesus very near. In other words, sin will dominate unless we abide in Him continually. Now, if you think about that, that's true. You know, it's when you quit abiding in Him that sin crops up and you stumble. It's when we keep our eyes focused on Him and in Him, and we abide in Him, that keeps us out of trouble. All right.
Yeah, I was talking with I've been fellowshipping with a brother in Vancouver, pretty much every week, and you know, he's been saying the Lord's been keeping short accounts with him, and I've just been seeing the Lord doing a really good work in him, and you know, I'm finding myself becoming just more conscious of the Lord, more God conscious, which is a good thing. But I'm realizing the way I'm seeing it is like, okay, this is good, and I'm entering into this in a greater way, but yet I need just way so much more of that, you know. And so That's right. It has to be. I just want to be conscious of him, cognizant of him at all times, and like I just, you know, I'm totally out of the picture. So that's the goal. And I also have really let the Lord teach me that I have to quit trying so hard to kill me. It has to be the Lord. What I mean is, I have to put the sword of the Spirit to the old man, but it can only really be done by the leading of the Lord and by His grace and by His strength. It can't be. I mean, I'd like to be totally dead and completely dead, you know, to self by, you know, tonight at midnight. But it's got to be the Lord that does it. And as I've been finding, how can I put this? As I've been recognizing more the reality of that, I've been able to have more joy in the trials, you know, more joy in when the furnace gets hot at times and when the fire's turned up. I'm finding myself not murmuring or tempted to murmur in my heart or in my mind, but really rejoicing more in those trials and thereby finding more grace, and the more the Word is coming to my remembrance, you know, Lord's doing more of that. And so I'm very encouraged by that. So he's so faithful, long suffering. So yeah.
Amen. And let me ask you just a question before you get gone here. Where would you put prayer on the list of things to do?
Oh, my goodness, number one.
Amen. Yes, that's right. I'm telling you, praying is far more than just bending your knees in it and saying a few words.
Well, yeah, that's just it, Michael. That's what I'm finding. I'm praying when I'm, you know, walking down to, maybe walking to the store, or maybe walking to the coffee shop, I may be driving to, you know, the other side of the river, whatever. I'm just finding, I'm either praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, which I pray the Lord would work that in me more and more, because there's so much time during the day. I can be praying in tongues. I can, you know, Lord, make me more fruitful. And I just find myself now a lot of times without even thinking about it, I'm praying in tongues. And then if something, some concern or something comes up in my heart that, you know, maybe I'm kind of, I don't want to say anxious about, but maybe a concern. It could be something going on in me, something I'm recognizing, maybe a pattern in my life that I really want the Lord to deal with. I just talk with the Lord about it. Just learning to converse with Him more and more, and more as my, you know, just my Father, because He is our Father. So I've been finding that praying without ceasing is not burdensome, like the commands, you know, the commandments of the Lord. They're not burdensome. There's liberty there, because that's where the Spirit of the Lord is. So. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I've been reading a little bit of E.M. Bounds, and one of his, he does a lot of poems. One of his poems, just a little short four-sentence thing, it says, "'Tis not enough to bend the knee and words of prayer to say. The heart must with the lips agree, or else we do not pray." It's not a light exercise, is it? It's a hard exercise.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 5:7 says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." Hebrews 5:7. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? Good, Chad. Thank you very much for sharing. All right. Anybody else? What's the Lord showing you? What are you doing? Is God showing you things? Is He giving you words of encouragement?
Absolutely. Let Him do the work.
That's right, Chris. How's things going in your prayer life?
Oh, prayer life is much needed every day. First thing every day. I got Luke 17:1-10 today. That's your homework. I have really been pressing in and asking for some answers and some direction on some things that I'm facing, and I'm finding it easier and easier to let the Word come forth and pull out all emotion and let God do the work. And it's a real blessing, and it is not instant, but it is progressive, and I just thank Him for it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I'm finding that too, Chris, that prayer is not a burden like it used to be, because when you enter in, Tim has talked about this a few times as well, when you enter in, it becomes a blessing. it becomes a great blessing.
A little saying that I sometimes tell myself in the morning, if you pray for a few minutes before your feet hit the floor, you'll be more stable as you go throughout the day.
Amen. Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael, I think for us, one of the things we've been going through is a lot of lying spirits lately, and I think the Lord is just working with us and being able to stand through those trials and like you all say, and spend time with Him. And there's so many things to take your time up anymore. I mean, just there's so many people around us that are needful and want to try and help them, and you just have to use your time the best way you can. And I think that's what the Lord has been kind of working with us.
Amen. Of course, you know this, Marlon, the way to combat lying spirits is to know what the Word says, right? Amen.
Right.
All right. Anyone else? Jackie, what's the Lord been showing you, if I might ask?
Hello. Well, first, I'd like to give a praise report on my niece that we prayed for last week. She went back to the hospital on Friday, and I praise the Lord for answering my prayers and for everybody praying and agreeing with me. There was no infection. I think we prayed Thursday night. She developed another wound overnight before going to the ER Friday, and it burst Friday morning. But praise the Lord, there was no infection, and they treated her and sent her home. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Well, what the Lord's been doing with me, brother, is I've really been pressing in, like it says in 2 Corinthians, about cleansing myself from all defilement of flesh and spirit to perfect holiness. What I've been praying for is to let... I've been challenged in areas with people around me and folks about holding my speech. So I've really been pressing in and letting no corrupt speech come forth from my mouth. I just, before I speak, I try to hold my tongue, and I've been praying, like it says in Psalms, for the Lord to put a watch over my mouth and a door on my lips so that I won't say anything unless it edify. And even folks that around here that I'm witnessing to, you know, by my actions and saying subtle things, it's a way for me to bring the light of Christ to them, just in the way the Lord will have me open my mouth and say something. If they say something derogatory, or if they're saying something about somebody else, or if, you know, they're heading into gossip, or, and I'm just speaking of, like, local people, like neighbors, if you bump into, or if they're complaining about something. The Lord's just really been awesome in opening my mouth and letting something come forth that turns around what they're saying to bring light to Him, and to bring, like, a kindness and spirit and heart that they receive. And it's really been good, because I've, you know, had some people say some things, and the Lord would just have me reply with something, and then they would come back and say, "Wow, you know what, you're right, that's what this is all about," or, "Yeah, that's the way to look at it," or just something worldly, but it was like a positive worldly thing. So I just praise God for that, because He's been just having me try to edify people and just trying to speak what is good for edifying, and trying to be graceful and trying to be kind in spirit.
Amen. Well, Jackie, you know, actually, that's the same thing the Lord's been working with me on as well, is to be a little more, or a lot more, I should say, cognizant of what I say, and allow the Lord to lead me to what to say to people. That's good. And And it's needed, well needed, you know. Sometimes we just blurt out stuff and really ought to just keep our mouth shut, you know. Or at least I'm talking about me now. I'm not talking about you, Jackie.
I'm talking about me.
No, I'm not talking about me now. But anyway, that's right. We have to be edifying to the body and to the world.
Into the world, yeah, it brings a subtle correction even to the worldly people, and you know, not to correct them because we're not allowed to judge or correct them because they're without and lost. But
amen, that's right. Well, all right, thank you very much. Anyone else?
Thanks, brother. God bless you. God bless everybody. Thanks for praying for Shannon.
You bet. All right, Judy, what about you, girl? What's God showing you?
I've just really been trying to get all these idols and any unforgiveness out of my life. Just been praying God for that. And I've been praying that He gives me more love. And I want to be a servant of others. And I'm asking Him to really help me on these things.
Amen. That's real good. That's what we're called to be, as servants to God's people. Servants to God's people. We're supposed to be master of the devil, brother of Christ, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, and that's what I want. So I'm
awesome.
Asking the Lord to help me with all these things.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Anybody else? I hope y'all don't mind me picking people out like this. You know, you don't have to say anything long. Just whatever's on your heart, because I really want to know what the Lord is showing everybody in the fellowship. And what happens is we see that, and we can see that, you know, He's doing the same thing here, or He's doing a little bit different thing over there. That's it helps the body to know this. Kurt, do you mind sharing?
I probably just agree with what Judy said, is learning to keep my mouth shut when I need to and walk up right before the Lord and please Him.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Anybody else want to come out and tell us what the Lord's showing you?
Michael.
Yeah, let's see, that would be Stan. Yeah, go ahead, Stan.
Yeah, the Lord has been having me in the mid part of 1 Corinthians 13 and showing me that I've got a lot of improvement to do in the area of love. You know, just way too selfish in how I think and act and everything.
Amen. Me too. That's what He's showing me that as well. I sure will be glad when He gets it all out of me, won't you?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, somebody else had talked about something there. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, just a quick thought. I was thinking on how big this thing with the tongue is. Interesting this comes up, because I was just talking about this with the brother in Van, you know, on the other side of the river from me here today, and as we were fellowshipping, but it's just the scripture came to mind, if any man bridleth not his tongue, his religion is in vain. So it's a pretty big deal.
Amen. Do y'all mind if I go ahead and recite 1 Corinthians 13? That piqued a little interest in me, Stan, because this is a great chapter in the Word of God, and it puts us right in perspective of what God wants out of us. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And when I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. That is a great chapter, and it tells us where God places love above and beyond anything else. Love for our neighbor, love for God should be foremost on our list and chief on our list of things to do. All right, anybody else? What's the Lord showing you? Hey, Barbara, you mind sharing with us what the Lord's showing you?
Can I get back to you on that?
Yeah, you sure can. You surely may. Yeah. All right. What about you, David? What's the Lord showing you?
I came on a little late. Actually, I just got done talking to the family. I've been reading. I don't know who turned me on to this. Might have been Micah Montana. It was I'm not sure who did. It's called The Harlot Church System, a book. I can't remember. Let's see if I can find out who it's written by. Anyways, it was recently. I was just brought out a section about idolatry, written by Charles E. Niebold, about the church system. So I talked about church a little bit, what he had to say about church, about the difference between getting the word church and their etymology, what they're broke down to, and then we got into what idolatry is, like the church is today, what man has is basically a big system of idolatry, because it, what idolatry ends up being is that you're absorbed into self, you're always promoting self, it's always about self. Idolatry is goes back to you, it goes back to you being God. You having something that you're going to manifest and be proud of, and it's all from you. So it all goes back to the flesh, and it's very deceptive because you might be thinking you're, you know, serving God, but you're serving yourself. And so there's a lot of golden calves out there. So we talked about a lot of that, and I got really in depth about the idolatry idea. So we can start to understand what it is. What is idolatry? And then went in to show how God was so jealous of Israel when they would worship other gods. And that's what this becomes, other gods, idolatry. So it was important for me to show my family, you know, this is the big stumbling block that everybody in religious systems fall for. And they still think they're on target. They still think they're running after God, and in a sense, they're running after something else other than God. It looks like God has replaced God, but it has no relationship to God at all. So I'm trying to make the distinctions so that we all can kind of, and even me, start looking in your life and say, hey, you know, maybe I give this a little too much attention, or I'm really too involved with this, and It's not has nothing to do with what God would really want in my life, you know, what I need to be doing, what's important here. So that's kind of where I was falling. And God kind of supported that along the week or so with a couple scriptures pointing in that direction. He even gave me something for Super Bowl Sunday, which I didn't relate to until today. Sometimes he'll just give me a scripture, and it just talks about, and so-and-so was son of this, and son of that, and son of this, and who of that. And if you take and start looking up all these people's names and find out what they mean, then it actually tells what the sentence is all about. And he gave me a sentence on Super Bowl Sunday, essentially pointing to people chasing after these gods again, you know, the Babylonish gods. So watching, you know, because everybody's kind of involved in Babylon, and it's just another idolatrous system there all set up. So anyways, that's where I was today and been the last couple of days.
Amen. You know, that's one of the reasons the Lord's fixing to judge this nation is the idolatrous church system. So anyway, we're fixing to see them, some of them come out of them and run for the Lord. Praise God. All right. Anyone else like to share what the Lord's showing you? Andrew, you got anything you'd like to share?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hear me? Good. Well, there was something that David Eales said on his study on Sunday. He said this once before, and I really didn't understand what he was trying to say, but he was talking about doctrine and how we shouldn't, I forget how he said it, but it was in reference to doctrine, and he was talking about that you shouldn't just really look at other people's differences in doctrines, especially those people who know the full gospel. And, of course, this upset me a little bit when he said that, and I put some thought to it, and I went to the Lord about it, and well, just today, you know, I got a little bit of an answer, and it's I wrote it down on a piece of card at work today, and I wrote this: a person could have a new life or the new man and not have all the doctrine yet, you know. And it also reminded me of one of these, I read some of the Book of Martyrs, and there was an 8-year-old boy there who actually gave his life. He would not renounce Jesus, and he actually, his parents, his father was a preacher, and his mother and him were going to go and into the field, and because they were invited for a picnic, and he couldn't have not known all doctrine, this young lad who was only 8, and he didn't renounce Christ, and he got a martyr's crown. And you meet people who don't have the same doctrine as you, and it just concerned me, because I was going, well, you know, doctrine is very important. It's the word, you know. It's the life, the glory you're supposed to have. And I guess I was thinking one way and not really looking at what might be on the other side of this. I'm not saying that doctrine's not important, because doctrine has to come to you from the Lord. And that's how you get it. He gives you good doctrine, as it says somewhere in the book of Proverbs. And, that's one thing I've been thinking about. And I'm also reading from the book of Jeremiah and trying to see how it applies for today. And it's actually pretty scary how it seems like... I'm only at chapter 15. How the Lord seems to be very angry and not giving forgiveness to the people. And you know, it says things like because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And actually, when I started reading this, I think I got to about chapter 3, and I remember watching a video from Dimitri Duneman, because it's right there in the list when you come on to UBM. Dimitri's down there when you put in America's Last Days. And he came in, of course, speaking in his language, and was way back when he did this video, I think it was with also Prophecy Club, that he started to tell the Americans to, in the church, to stop sinning. You have all this stuff in the church, and when I was reading the book of Jeremiah, it sort of made me reflect to there in my mind. That was put in my mind to as a warning for us today, that this could be for us today because of all the things that are going on in the churches, and it's kind of like a parallel for us today. And it seems to me that so far from what I read up to chapter 16 is this could be why the 7-year tribulation is coming, and something of the great tribulation, and because especially like this, in some places it seems like he's telling Jeremiah that he's not gonna give in this time. You know, he's pretty adamant in having the sinners and the people who went after gods to other gods to be judged. And you know, of course, when you're reading something like this, you're always looking for the grace from God. And there are other things, like I don't always bring before the people when I need prayer for something, because I just want to be trained with myself too. Like I need to depend on the Lord between me and Him, and I take these things before the Lord. But I know that deep in the background, that people from UBM pray for each other, and without asking, sometimes I just think I need something for myself to clarify that the Lord is. It's not that I'm not wanting to bring something before the people. It's just, you want to see it happen, just you and Him together too on some things. And like, that's one of the things I'm going through now. Well, I have a toothache, you see, and I'm just wanting, see, now that you guys know, I just want the Lord to take care of this, you know, me and Him. And there's other things, other aspects in my life that I want to see Him work in, and I won't always bring it first thing before the people. And I don't know if that's wrong, but it's the more serious matters I'll bring before the people, you know, and ask for help in prayer. And usually I get the answer soon after, and sometimes it takes quite a long time for some things. Anyway, that's where I'm at, and I'm just looking into this Jeremiah word, because it's the first book I'm trying to see if I can convert the word to the spirit of the word that giveth life, rather than just have a letter and how it would be applicable for this time we live in. And that's what it is, and you know, and you just have to constantly pray and see what the Lord has in store for you on a daily basis, and things like he puts back in your mind about what someone may have said and how could it apply, and sometimes you might get to the wrong conclusion too much, and if you talk about like, for instance, when I was reading about this martyr thing, if I was to give you the details of which country it came from and who were the culprits shooting these people, some people might jump to a conclusion that, well, it's always those guys anyway. And that's not right, because they killed all three of them, and we had to get the information somehow that this happened. So one of their captors of these people being martyred actually became saved later and brought the story in. So you have to be careful who also your mind might come against in these cases, because I'm sure that even if I was to give the full story, that people might start thinking badly about some other people over there in some other countries, and that's not the case. You know, you're supposed to concentrate on what's going on there. And anyway, that's it.
All right. Yep, you're right. There's a lot of them that are being saved, so we don't know who the elect is. So we can't come after a general population in order to with condemnation when God is saving some of them, even having to speak. Okay, anyone else? That was good, Andrew. Thank you very much. All right, anyone else?
Okay, I'll get back to you now.
Okay, Barbara.
In the shower, and you totally got me off guard. I guess what the Lord's been working with me is teaching me not to walk, basic, not to walk in my flesh, namely emotions. Because I tend to be emotional, and when I see my family members hurting one another, or I just tend to get really emotional, like I go and cry to the Lord. It really bothers me. I guess that's what I want to say, because how we know we're really dead to ourselves, from what I understand, is if it doesn't bother us. Well, it does bother me, and so, like, I've been going to the Lord over this for some time now, actually, and he's teaching me that, you know, I mean, I know, yeah, we walk by faith and not by sight, and when we see it, and it is by sight, and when we let it bother us, we're letting it be by sight, and I want to walk by faith, and I guess this has been like an ongoing trial for me, because you know me being emotional, and I've been asking the Lord to give me grace to, you know, cast down, you know, those thoughts that would make me emotional, or I don't know, I don't even really know what to say, but Just that he would get me to that place where things don't bother me, and it could just bounce off me, knowing, because I do know they are going to be saved. I do know they're going to be restored. I really do have that knowing. So I don't know what it is that keeps me in that emotional, like, I don't know if that's a spirit. I mean, sometimes I've cast down a sadness spirit, a crying spirit, because it tends to make me, I don't know, like emotional, not in front of them, but by myself with the Lord, you know. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's where I'm at, and that's what he's trying to teach me and get me through that. And I know that sounds silly, but that's where I'm at.
No, it doesn't sound silly. We've all gone through that, and it's a trial. It's most of the time it's flesh coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike,
yeah, go ahead, Linda.
I was thinking when she was giving that testimony that Jesus
was sad when Lazarus died. He and it was a spiritual emotion, but it, you know, and we have to learn what's a flesh emotion or a spirit emotion. But Jesus, you know, was very sad and cried, you know, in the story about Lazarus' death. And so I just wanted to throw that out, because there's spiritual emotion that's okay, you know, and so we're learning to, you know, divide the spirit from the flesh. So I just wanted to add that to balance this, what she's saying.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that because, you know, my wife, Trish, I mean, she can be very emotional, you know, but sometimes it's just a compassion that's in you, you know, for, you know, just, you know, wanting things, you know, right, or not wanting to see somebody get hurt or whatever it is. And, but it's really the compassion, the Christ in her. But the problem is if we make decisions, you know, by those emotions, or we're led by those emotions. And when we're led by those emotions or make decisions based on those emotions, and that's where we can get into trouble, you know, as far as that, when they kind of take over and we're, you know, we're making decisions by them. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
I try to stay neutral in the things I hear from them, like when they're coming and saying this or that or this or that. I just try to stay neutral and but like I'll go away and it'll bother me immensely to where I just go and cry to the Lord. And then I feel sad. So, yeah, I do believe it is compassion, too. But still, nonetheless, we're to die to our flesh, we're supposed to not let anything bother us. Another thing, too, that bothers me, that the Lord's working with me on, and I'll be vulnerable here, is, you know, I've always been love, you know. And I didn't have much of it in my life. And so it's like I want love. But at the same time, you know, we have to die to that because it doesn't matter anymore. At least this is what I'm learning. Like, when I first came to that understanding, I was like, wow, I was floored. I was like, wow, we're not even to want love. I mean, we do, but, like, we don't let it get to a point to where it really bothers us and gets to us like it was me. And, I just attribute all that. Well, that's just an emotional thing again, and but you know what? The Lord is so good to me. He is always so good to me, and He always shows me love in different ways I don't expect. You know, and it's like, it's just really neat. You know, and I don't know. I just He has a lot of work still yet to do on me, but I mean, He has done a lot of work in me, but. More so to go. And it's like Chad was saying, you know, I want to be dead already, you know. I mean, I'm not dead yet. I mean, but anyways, you know, I'm just anticipating on the work the Lord's going to finish, you know, and that's in all of us, you know. And so praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, we've all got to go through it. So, yep, you're not alone. Amen. Thank you, Barbara. That was good. All right, anyone else would like to share what the Lord's showing you? Charlie, do you mind? You or Linda? Charlie Smith?
Yeah, here I am. I tell you what's been crossing my mind lately is that it's very important that we keep our robe, our garments washed daily and keep it clean. We can't afford to let, you know, spots and blemishes and wrinkles get in our garments because it defiles us. And I was thinking about this over here in Revelation 22. Let me see here. I think it's in verse 14. It says, "Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life and may enter in by the gates into the city." All right. So that means if we don't keep our robes washed and clean, then we don't have a right to the tree of life, and we won't enter in at the gate into the city. And then on down here, just a little bit further, it talks about adding to the word and taking away from the word, and there's a curse that comes up on that. It says in verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. And there you go again. If you take away the words of this prophecy, why, you're not going to be cleansed. Because what are you replacing those words that you're taking out with? Maybe a religious doctrine or a belief or something like that. And so anyway, that's what I've been thinking about. I know in John chapter 15, Jesus talked about, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he said he wants each branch to bear fruit. And the only way that we can bear fruit is in him, as long as we abide in him. Well, guess what? Abiding in him is abiding in the word. And if we wash our garments, like it was talking about over here in Revelation, our garments have to be washed with the word, by the washing, by the water of the word. And I think that that's very important, that we don't get distracted and that we don't have time to sit down with God and read and study his word so he can pour out things in our life, so he can wash and cleanse us daily so we don't get defiled, that we don't get spots, wrinkles, and blemishes. That's all I got to share for right now.
Amen, brother. That was good. Amen. Can't add to or take away from the Word of God and expect it to make it in. Praise the Lord. All right, anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Joe? Yeah, Gayno.
I just like to thank Charlie for that word, because I've been hearing the same thing about that he is the vine and we are the branch, and you know, it is in him that we get our nourishment. And I just when he was sharing that, I thought that's exactly what I've been hearing. Another thing I wanted to mention, Marlon and I were to the funeral of one of our children's former teachers last week, and it was just the whole atmosphere was just most disturbing. And when Barbara was speaking, I was just thinking how my spirit was just so disturbed after, you know, while we were there and actually since. And Marlon says his has been stirred also. And this was a man who was respected by many, many people, but there was, you know, no mention of God ever. Or, you know, that someone did read some scripture, but as far as the sharing that this person had a relationship with the Lord, it just, at no time did that ever seem to even be a part of anything. And it was just so, so empty. And it is so hard to believe that, you know, even the last several years of his life has not gone well, but apparently no one shared the word with him. He hasn't lived around here for a little while now, but it just, I know the thing in my heart is like, I just pray that the Lord will put the scriptures on my heart that I need to share with those that I share what they need to hear, what will help them the most, that he'll just put that in the foremost of my mind. And I'm believing that he will do that. And I know we have, you know, just family members and all. It's like I just, and the family of friends, that we would know what to share and just believe that the Lord is going to prepare their hearts to receive it. And I guess that's really what he's, you know, been putting on my heart. Most of all, just to pray for those who are his, to just call them to himself and to open their spiritual ears and eyes to hear truth, and not be content to just sit where they are and continue their life as they are and think that whatever they're doing here on earth, well, they're going to be doing that up there in heaven too. And when you hear them speak those words, oh my goodness, it's like they're spitting in the face of Jesus. And it's like, it is so hard to hear people make comments like that. You know, it's just, it's hard to hear. But, you know, that's where they are. And I know we can't judge them on that. But it just is, it's hard. And I know we have to put them in God's hands. That's where they are. And I guess that's all I wanted to share. So thank you. Blessings to you all.
Amen. Thank you, Gano. That was good. Again, praise God. All right, anyone else like to share what God's showing you? What do you think, Joel? You and Nora like to share what God's showing you?
Yeah, I can tell you what's the Lord speaking to me the last couple of days, or last couple of weeks about fasting. I need to fast. I have to confess. I started a couple of months my dinner each day. I'm fasting my dinner. I don't eat it at work, and but it's not working for me. It's not, how do you explain, any purpose. And I asked the Lord, he gave me Monday morning, he gave me Matthew 9:15. If you can tell me what it means for you, Michael?
Yeah, you want to go ahead and recite it? Matthew 9:15.
Okay, go ahead. The wedding guest can mourn as long as the groom is with them, can they? But the days will come when a groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast.
Amen.
I know I need to fast. I need to fast for, there's quite a few things, but I need something specific. So if you don't mind praying for me.
Okay, you're talking about to go ahead and fast, to pray and to the Lord would give you strength to fast?
Yes, please, sir.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you hear Joe's cry, Lord. He wants to fast. He wants to give him something to fast and pray about, Lord, if nothing else, to be closer to you, Father. Because when we fast, Lord, we get rid of the flesh, and our spirit man is able to hear you better, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to instill in Joe a fast for whatever high length that you think that Joe can do it, Lord. And I thank you that he's going to do it, and he's going to be successful in it, because when we fast, we seek the Lord. That's all we do. We seek the Lord. And, Father, I ask that you give him revelations during this fast that you're going to give him. And show yourself to him, Lord. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Well, all right, Joe. Looks like you're in for a fast, because God's going to do it for you.
Thank you.
Amen. All right, anyone else would like to? Wade, you or Jeanette would like to share anything? Don't forget your mute button. Well, all right. Tim, did you want to share anything?
I'll share a little story with you.
Michael?
Okay, I'll let Wade go.
Yeah, go ahead, Wade.
I hit the wrong button.
Okay.
I'm not used to it yet.
That's okay. Go ahead, brother.
I was about to say that I have a lot of free time, and I should do some organizing with my time, because with all the free time I have, I missed my Bible time today, and I was thinking, you know, that this idol to me is, you know, that I have liberty time-wise, and it's not a liberty if it hurts me. But I'm going to be praying that the Lord center me more on the Word than I have been. I mean, I believe in Jesus in me, organizing my time and my life and all, and I do get go over a lot. Like I try to minister to my neighbors who some are growing in the Lord, and one of them is growing very rapidly. He may pass me very shortly, which would be great for me. I would love to see that. But I need to pray for me that I would get a hold of my time and my Bible reading situations and read more of the Bible. I didn't read today, and I had a whole day to do it.
So it did help kind of help a couple of friends.
Yeah, it was trying to help a couple of friends.
I understand the Bible.
Yeah. So that's about all that's going with me. I'm seeing that time can be a very important aspect of the life of Christ, is how we use our time.
Amen. Well, let's pray then. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask and I pray, Lord, that you impress upon Wade the direness of the hour and how we should all be running after you with all of our hearts, and nothing else is more important than to run after you, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to do that for Wade and Jeanette. And Father, we just ask that you give them friends that would like to join them in that. But Lord, we also need to get in that quiet time where we're alone with you, Lord, so that we can experience you and listen to you, that still small voice of yours, Father. And I ask and I pray that you place it into Wade's heart to do that. And Lord, I thank you that we're going to see a mighty man of prayer here. And Lord, we just believe that you're going to work a miracle here in Wade to keep him focused on the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you think, Wade?
Amen. God's doing it.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
Doing it, and my wife and I, too. So we recognize his action in our life, and we feel so blessed that Christ would come and live with us, live in us, and through us. It's awesome to think about that. And him overcoming our particular situations.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, is anyone else got anything they'd like to share? Tim?
Yeah, I'll share something here. I had a sister, you know, in the ministry, works at it's like a thrift store, but what they really do is they work with incarcerated women, and you know they're trying to help incarcerated women get back into the workforce or you know break their habits or whatever. So they're just trying to be a, you know, just provide a service that isn't out there. And what they do is they bring these women in and they use them to sort through clothes that they get donations from and wash the clothes and put them on hangers and, you know, get them ready to put in the store. And they put on classes and just a lot of things. The sister she's really a baby Christian, but she's got so much Christ in her when it comes to these people. She's got so much love, you know, just for what God has put her in, and she's seeing the Lord in everything. And so she had asked me to volunteer a little time and go in and help her with a little project. And I went in there this morning, and she shared a little story with me. I don't know, Lord's working on my heart right now. But she said that, you know, they're sorting through these clothes and donations and that, and somebody brought in an old, nasty, about a 3-foot dowel, you know. And this thing was dirty, ripped up. You know, the clothing on it was ripped up. And there, she said there was just weird stuff hanging on her and that. And, you know, the women threw her in the garbage pile, you know, this dowel. And this sister in the Lord came in and said, "Hey, what's this over here?" And she said, they told her, "Well, look, it's going to the dumpster. Nobody's going to buy that." And so she pulled this doll out of the dumpster pile and took her and wiped off her face and wiped off her hands and took off, you know, the ripped up clothing that was on this doll, and found a dress, you know, a children's dress in there, and put this dress on it, put some nice shoes on it, and put a little jewelry on it, and sat it in the store. And everybody's, you know, what's this doing in here? What's this doing in here? And she just said, you know, just let it be. She said it was a couple days later, a little girl comes in. And she had scars all over her face from an accident that she was in. And she saw that doll and she ran over. I said, "Daddy, can you buy me this doll? I want this doll." And the daddy says, "No, we don't have the money, you know, for that." And this sister in the Lord went over this little girl and said, "You know what? This doll needs a home, and she needs somebody to take care of her. And if that's you, you can have her." And this little girl just gleamed and just grabbed onto that doll and just started loving on this doll. And just, you know, I mean, it was, you know, she just shared it. Just this girl just lit up and, you know, left with that doll. And when she shared that story, I just, you know, really saw just, you know, how many times we judge by the outward appearance. And, you know, want to cast somebody into the dumpster pile because they're unclean. And, you know, they don't look like us. And, you know, we just, you know, we judge by the outward appearance. And, you know, it was just, you know, something that really spoke to me as far as, you know, having the heart of Christ. You know, to pull somebody out of the dumpster pile and give them a little bit of hope, get a little dirt off their face, and, you know, give them a little help, and, you know, God's going to take care of them. So, it just, she shared that story, and I just, it just totally blessed me, and wanted to share with you.
Amen. We've all been in that trash pile. And God has lifted us up out of it and cleaned us up. That's an awesome, awesome testimony. Thank you, Tim. Praise God. And thank you to the sister, too. I know who it is, but praise God. She's got a heart of gold. She does.
And the thing was, is the whole key of this whole thing is the women that cast this, you know, this doll into the dumpster pile, saw this, and it touched their heart. I mean, it just penetrated their heart. And the Lord is speaking to these women through little things like that. Just being a light, just showing light, just showing love. Just speaking a word of encouragement, just, you know, and, you know, it's just the little things we can do, a smile, whatever it is, to bless somebody and just impart a little bit of that Christ in them, and maybe even pray for them. But that's what he wants in all of us, just to be that light and, you know, to love the unloved and to love the ones that the world has cast off, or they've labeled them as an inmate or a felon or, you know, whatever it is, homeless. And the thing, you know, she shared with me that, the money they make in this little store just supports just their little, you know, what they're trying to do with these inmates. And she said that, you know, she was just sharing with me because recently this little store has gotten some press. And all of a sudden, all these different churches in the area are coming in and want to be part of it, you know. They want to be exalted with this good thing that's happening in the neighborhood. And the churches are amazed that they're not affiliated with any churches and don't want to be affiliated with any churches because Christ is the one who's doing it. You know, it's not some church that's backing them, but all these churches are coming in now and want to be part of the action. You know, it's just like, I remember that little story, you know, I forget, you know, about the hen that was breaking the bread and who's going to, you know, help me pick the wheat and who's going to help me do this, and nobody wants to help, but once that bread is baked, they all want part of it, you know. So she was just kind of sharing a little bit about that and, you know, just kind of what she was seeing. And she said one day this church bus, you know, pulls up and these, you know, church people come out and this guy from this group was basically trying to convince her that she should freely give them what they want, and quoting the freely receive, freely give. And just a total form of manipulation. And, you know, she saw through it and shared with him that if somebody comes in there in need, they give it away. I mean, I've seen homeless people come in there and walk out with bags of clothes. They just bless them. You know, but if somebody's got the means, you know, they have a price tag on it. But if somebody can't afford it, they just give it away. You know, it's nothing to her. And she works with some people that don't understand that, you know, everything. This world is so greedy, and it's all about the buck, and it's all about your eminence and who you are and, you know, all this stuff. So she was just kind of sharing the experiences she's had. And it's just kind of neat because she just stands bold. She knows that anything that happens, God's going to do. And she can't quote too many scriptures or anything like that, but she's just showing the love of Christ, and she's seeing the hypocrisy out there, and she's showing the love, and it's just kind of neat. Just spent a few hours with her, and it really ministered to my heart, you know, just really to see what is really important, you know. There's so many hurting people out there, and she was sharing with me that the national average of people that are incarcerated, 66% of them are repeat offenders. And in our area, it's 88%. So the national average is 66, but we're like 88% end up back in incarceration. Because there's no avenues, there's no hope, there's no education, there's no, you know, there's churches on every corner. And if these people go into the church, they set them in the back corner in the church in their own little section. You know, they got segregated sections for any inmates or anything like that. And her heart breaks, you know, for, you know, she's seeing the hypocrisy in the body of Christ. And, you know, she doesn't want to have any part of that. But the Lord is working through her heart and she's just pouring out her heart, and it's just it's an awesome thing to see. So, Father, we just ask you to just bless Mary, just continue to grow her up in you. We just thank you for her. We just thank you for that servant's heart, that heart of flesh, that heart of compassion, that heart of Christ that you have put in her. And Lord, we just thank you for just she knows everything she does is of you, and she sees you in everything. And we just thank you. And Lord, we ask you just help us to come to that place where we can just be love, show our love, walk in love, and be a light unto the hurting, unto the lost, unto the bruised and abandoned people. And a lot of these people claim to be in your kingdom, Lord. They just don't have enough of the truth, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you just bless the works of Mary's hands right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless her with anything she needs to get that job done over there. Praise you, Lord. That was an awesome, awesome testimony. We need more of those. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I'd kind of like to go over some things with you about prayer. And I'm taking this out of E.M. Bounds' book. It's called Essentials of Prayer. And it really affected me the other day when I was reading it. And it really upped my prayer life in order to, well, not in order to do anything, but just to, it encouraged me to pray more and to do it with more of a fervency and from the heart type of deal. Prayer has to do with the entire man. Prayer takes in man in his whole being, mind, soul, and body. It takes a whole man to pray. And prayer affects the entire man in its gracious results. As the whole nature of man enters into prayer, so also all that belongs to man is the beneficiary of prayer. All of man receives benefits in prayer. The whole man must be given to God in praying. The largest results in praying come to him who gives himself, all of himself, all that belongs to himself, to God. And that's the secret of full consecration. And this is a condition of successful praying, and the sort of praying which brings the largest fruits. The men of olden times who wrought well in prayer, who brought the largest things to pass, who moved God to do great things, were those who were entirely given over to God in their praying. God wants and must have all that there is in man in answering his prayers. He must have whole-hearted men through whom to work out his purposes and plans concerning men. God must have men in their entirety. No double-minded man need apply. No vacillating man can be used. No man with a divided allegiance to God and the world itself can do the praying that is needed. Holiness is wholeness. And so God wants holy men, men wholehearted and true, for his service and for the work of praying. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the sort of men God wants for leaders of the hosts of Israel. And these are the kind out of which the praying class is formed. Man is a trinity in one, and yet man is neither a trinity nor a dual creature when he prays, but a unit. Man is one in all the essentials and acts and attitudes of piety. Soul, spirit, and body are to unite in all things pertaining to life and godliness. The body, first of all, engages in prayer, since it assumes the praying attitude in prayer. Prostration of the body becomes us in praying, as well as prostration of the soul. The attitude of the body counts much in prayer. Although it's true that the heart may be haughty and lifted up, and the mind listless and wandering, and the praying a mere form even while the knees are bent in prayer. Daniel kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day in prayer. Solomon kneeled in prayer at the dedication of the temple. Our Lord in Gethsemane prostrated himself in that memorable season of praying just before his betrayal. Where there is earnest and faithful praying, the body always takes on the form most suited to the state of the soul at the time. The body that far joins the soul in praying. The entire man must pray. The whole man, life, heart, temper, mind are in it. Each and all join in the prayer exercise. Doubt, double-mindedness, division of the affections are all foreign to the closet character and conduct, undefiled, made whiter than snow, are mighty potencies and are the most seemly beauties for the closet hour and for the struggles of the prayer. A loyal intellect must conspire and add the energy and fire of its undoubting and undivided faith to that kind of all hour, the hour of prayer. Necessarily, the mind enters into the praying. First of all, it takes thought to pray. The intellect teaches us we ought to pray by serious thinking beforehand. The mind prepares itself for approaching a throne of grace. Thought goes before the entrance into the closet and prepares the way for true praying. It considers what will be asked for in the closet hour. True praying does not leave to the inspiration of the hour what will be the request of that hour. As praying is asking for something definite of God, so beforehand the thought arises, what shall I ask for at this hour? In other words, we ought to have a list of the things that we want to pray for before we go into our closet, and not just haphazardly, unless you get into the, when you get into the spirit of prayer and the spirit leads you in praying, that's the perfect prayer right there. And he says, all vain and evil and frivolous thoughts are eliminated, and the mind is given over entirely to God, thinking of Him, of what is needed, and what has been received in the past. By every token, prayer, in taking hold of the entire man, does not leave out the mind. The very first step in prayer is a mental one. The disciples took that first step when they said unto Jesus at one time, Lord, teach us to pray. We must be taught through the intellect, and just in so far as the intellect is given up to God in prayer, will we be able to learn well and readily the lesson of prayer. Paul spreads the nature of prayer over the whole man. It must be so. It takes the whole man to embrace in its godlike sympathies the entire race of man, the sorrows, the sins, and the death of Adam's fallen race. It takes the whole man to run parallel with God's high and sublime will in saving mankind. It takes the whole man to stand with our Lord Jesus Christ as the one mediator between God and sinful man. This is the doctrine Paul teaches in his prayer directory in the 2nd chapter of his 1st epistle to Timothy. And nowhere does it appear so clearly that it requires the entire man in all departments of his being to pray than in this teaching of Paul. It takes the whole man to pray till all the storms which agitate his soul are calmed to a great calm, till the stormy winds and waves cease as by a godlike spell. It takes the whole man to pray till cruel tyrants and unjust rulers are changed in their nature and lives, as well as in their governing qualities, or till they cease to rule. It requires the entire man in praying till high and proud and unspiritual ecclesiastics become gentle, lowly, and religious till godliness and gravity bear rule in church and in state, in home and in business, in public, as well as in private life. It is a man's business to pray, and it takes manly men to do it. It is godly business to pray, and it takes godly men to do it. And it is godly men who give over themselves entirely to prayer. Prayer is far-reaching in its influence and in its gracious effects. It is intense and profound business which deals with God and His plans and purposes. It takes wholehearted men to do it. No half-hearted, half-brained, half-spirited effort will do for this serious, all-important heavenly business. It's got to be the whole heart, the whole brain, the whole spirit must be in this matter of praying, which is so mightily to affect the characters and destinies of men. The answer of Jesus to the scribe as to what was the first and greatest commandment was as follows: The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. In one word, the entire man without reservation must love God. And so it takes the same entire man to do the praying which God requires of men. All the powers of man must be engaged in it. God cannot tolerate a divided heart in the love He requires of men. Neither can He bear with a divided man in praying. In the 119th Psalm, the psalmist teaches this very truth in these words. He says, Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Blessed upon these wholehearted ones, God's approval rests. Now, bringing the case closer home to himself, the psalmist makes this declaration as to his practice. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And further on, giving us his prayer for a wise and understanding heart, he tells us his purposes concerning the keeping of God's law. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart.
Hey, Michael, I think we lost you. Michael Hare. Can anybody else hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Okay. All right, somehow we lost Michael there. I'm going to have to text him, let him know he dropped out. Does anybody else have anything to share while we're waiting for Michael?
I might want to tell him.
What's that?
I just share something quick that kind of went along with what you just said a little bit ago about, I don't know how many times when we visited detention centers or prisons or something where people will tell us, you know, young people will tell us how they've been in different churches and how they've been treated. And just, you know, that's happened over and over. And that's just really a sad thing. I just thought I'd mention that quick.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it's just, it really touched, you know, it's really touched me, you know, and I just, you know, I see these young women in there, and they're just a circumstance of their surroundings, and a lot of these are third generation, you know, come from third generation drug addict families, and you know, the whole family's basically been incarcerated and in the system and all that, and they don't know how to break out of it. So, and what they've gotten is religion. They haven't really seen the love of Christ or, you know, gotten much of the good news. And you know, they're kind of downcast as far as, you know, reaping what they sowed, you know, or, you know, whatever the attitude is, you know, as far as that. So, but, But it's just, it's really, you know, it's really gripped my heart as far as to see some of these women. So, Michael Hare, you back? Yeah, I texted him, he lost power, so let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for just restoring the power there on Sunshine Mountain. And we thank you for just restoring that and bringing Michael back to finish his word. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Was somebody else going to say something? I guess I can share. I'll share something that this happened last night, and as you guys mostly know that, you know, Michael Montana's in town, and we've been, you know, kind of sharing them between, you know, Michael and David, and I've spent the last few days with him. And yesterday we just had a day of just pressing into the Lord, and Michael loves to play the guitar, and he's just been playing the guitar and just singing his heart out to the Lord, and it was just an awesome day in the Lord, and I felt something break in the spirit, and it was really neat. And so we went to the fellowship last night, and David asked Michael to bring forth a word, and he brought through an awesome word, and he actually tonight he came over and he wanted to cook us a dinner, and we invited some other brothers over, and he brought elk in, and I've never eaten elk before. And he's just got a servant's heart. You know, I just kind of, you know, you get a picture of somebody on the conference call, and, you know, he's a little rough and a little rugged and direct forward and that. But, man, I just, what I pictured is not, you know, who I met. And he's just been pouring out his heart. We've been crying. I mean, just tears and just, you know, just sharing how the Lord is just, you know, breaking him. And, you know, and when he says he's, you know, a bonehead, I mean, that's what he was. You know, he didn't have a father, and, you know, no father figure, and, you know, took off when he was, I don't even know what it was, 14, 15 years old, and hitchhiked across the United States and lived in a cave. And, I mean, he's just amazing, you know, testimony of how God just saved him, and it's just been working on him. And last night we were. Are you back, Michael? Okay, I thought he came in. Anyways,
yeah, I'm back. Yeah, go ahead. No, that's good.
All right. Well, last night we had an awesome night. Just in praise and worship, and then I was just feeling the Holy Spirit, and they started playing the Revelation song, and I stood up, and I was just feeling the Lord. I was pressing into the throne room, and I was singing that song with all my heart to the Lord. I had my eyes closed, my hands up in the air, and I was singing it to the Lord, and that was the only person in the room. And all of a sudden, just a move came over me, and I just started just praying in the Spirit, this warring tongue came out, and in the middle of the song, and then I go back into the song, and I was just pouring my heart out to the Lord. And all of a sudden, I've never experienced anything like this before, but just so deep inside of me just started to ache. There was just such an ache inside of my heart. And I had to sit down. And so I sat down, and I don't know how to explain it, but I close my eyes and I clutch my head, and I would just, you know, and all of a sudden I just saw dark get darker and darker. And I was like, what is this? And I just felt this sorrow in my heart, and just this mourning just started coming out, this deep hurt and pain. I mean, it was just like this. I can't even explain it. It was so deep inside of my soul, inside of my heart. It was just, you know. And I just started wailing, and I couldn't control it. I was just wailing and wailing, and I was trying to get my breath, and I couldn't stop wailing. And I mean, the Holy Spirit was just all over me. And I was wailing so hard, and just, you know, just trying to get my breath and wailing. And I have no concept of who's around me. It was just me and the Lord. And I really felt the Lord was just showing me his heart for his people. I just had this feeling of just this sadness for his people, of the uncleanness and the pride and the arrogance and just, I don't know, it was just such a deep, deep, deep sorrow, you know, that I was going through. And I felt it was just the Lord. It's just how he feels towards his people, towards his church. And then in the middle of this, I just came into like the Holy Spirit just took over, and it was just like a warring tongue. And it was, you know, just this authority, and just, I mean, it was like this boldness and authority, and I mean, it was so like, oh. And then I started wailing again, and it just, I've never experienced anything like that. And it was just the move of the Holy Spirit. And man, he did heart surgery on me last night. You know, today I shared that story, and she's sharing the story, and man, my heart is wrenching. It's just like, man, because I've been praying, Lord, I've been trying to get with him, and I've been asking him to, Lord, just, you know, show me your heart. Just, you know, I'm realizing I don't have the relationship with the Lord that I should have. I've got a very surfacey relationship with the Lord. You know, it's all about me and my needs. It's not what I can do for the Lord. You know, what, Lord, it's almost like I've got a conditional love. And he was just kind of showing me that. He's just been, because I've been just crying out to him, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to be led of you. I just want to learn how to be led of your Spirit, not this stupid flesh. I just hate this flesh. And I've just been just crying out to him. And he's just been working on my heart, you know. And I think that's just something that, you know, if we really saw what's in us, you know, it's really appalling to the Lord. And, you know, we don't deserve salvation. It's just, I mean, but he is so graceful. He is so awesome, you know, to take people like us that were so messed up, so lost and all that, you know. But then I was just seeing we get into a spiritual pride. You know, we think because we're part of, you know, this ministry that knows more than anybody else, or, you know, that they're lost or they're Baptist, or, you know, this whole thing, you know, it's just like, who are we? Who are we really? And, you know, I'm just coming to realization as far as just, Lord, I just want you to live your life through me, you know, and I'm trying to make him fit into my life, and we need to really let him live through us instead of trying to fit him into our life. And he's just been working on my heart, just giving me a compassion and allowing me to see, you know, people, how he's seeing them, and just seeing, you know, what's really in me, and just, you know, just bringing down this self-righteousness and this pride and this arrogance and wanting to be somebody or, you know, whatever it is. And it's, you know, there's a time coming when none of this matters. It seems so important right now, but none of it matters. The only thing that matters is Christ. And, you know, so... So that's what the Lord's been doing in me lately. Amen.
Amen. Yes, it was an awesome time last night, Tim. I know you were really blessed, and people around you were too. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Anybody else got a word, a prayer request, a testimony, or a praise report? It's those times that Tim experienced last night that really makes us sit back and reflect on where we are with Christ. And I knew that I wasn't in the right place, you know, that I should have been. There's a lot more that I needed to do to allow the Lord to work in my life. I get rid of self and get rid of the world. And that was my prayer last night and this morning too, is that, Lord, you just get rid of me, get rid of self, humble me, and bring me into that realm of the servant's heart, where pride has no business being in there, and arrogancy, and anything else that's not of Christ. We want it gone. We all want it gone. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to pursue Christ with all of our heart. Abide in Christ, as he said in John 15. Yeah, we need to abide in Christ and make our prayers work by pressing in and persevering in our prayer time for the other people in the conference call and the people around you, you know. Not just for your own needs, but the people around you. You know what their needs are, what has to be prayed about. And these little old 10 or 15 minute prayer times, not gonna handle it, not going to hack it through the times ahead. You know, we related here a while back the Chinese church and how they went to their prayer times with fear and trembling, because if there was sin in the camp, it was going to be exposed. And we're coming to that time to where it's going to be exposed. It's going to be laid out there for everybody to see. So now's the time to get right. Now's the time to get that darkness out, get the idols out. Praise God and seek the Lord with all your heart. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask and I pray, Lord, that you place it in all of our hearts to run after you, Lord, just like the Shulamite bride did. Run after you with all of our hearts. And to ask you, Lord, to filter all of this old mess and junk out of each one of our hearts, Lord. That the only thing left would be you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing this in each one of us. There ain't nothing any more important, Lord. Place that in our heart. Put the fear of God on every one of us, Lord, so that we would know that you're serious. As, you know, Lord, we've been hearing for a long time that you're coming and all this devastation and destruction is coming, but Lord, place it in our hearts, the fear of God, before it happens, so that we'll be ready, Father. And I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Father, give us dreams and visions tonight. Give us a good night's sleep, a restful sleep that only you can give us. And not only that, Lord, give us dreams and visions of the things to come. Give us dreams and visions, Father, and words that show us where our heart is with you, so that we can seek your face to get rid of it. All of this old nastiness, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless everybody tonight with protection, provision, and revelations, Lord, in your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you've placed it in our hearts to get that hidden manna, to get that manna every day. Yesterday's manna is worms now. So we need to renew that manna every day. And Father, I thank you that you've done that, you're going to do that, and you're going to continue to do that. In Jesus' name, bless us all. In Jesus' name. Good night, everybody. God bless you.